Schwarber blasts it. High and deep right field. Forget about it. Whoa, that one's gone. Way up onto the light landing in right field is Kyle Schwarber with an absolute bomb to right field. It's his 37th of the season, and it's 4-0 Phillies.
Well, great job by Schwarber last night, and great job by him this year. You know, last night was the first night it really struck me. He's got a shot to pass Ryan Howard's 58 homers.
Yep, he could.
He's got a shot. MVP.
Well, John Heyman said yesterday that he has entered the chat and is in the odds, like, you know, the betting odds, he's third or fourth.
Okay, no, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, he's never going to be a
batting average is low.
Yeah, that hurts him.
That hurts him a lot. It's high for Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
And he can, if he goes on a heater, if he goes on a tear, oh my gosh. If just sustain.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Ryan Howard did not have 37 at this time in 2006.
He had 35.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It
could happen. You know, Ryan Howard also hit the final one of that year on September 22nd. He, like, hit a wall in the last week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he had, like, 14. I looked it up last night because I was curious. He had, like, 14 in August, so he had a really big August.
Gotcha.
So if Schwarber keeps it up.
Gotcha. Matter of fact, this is ironic.
Really cool.
So I have the book.
Schwagist.
I have my book in front of me. I got my book in front of me because I was going to give it to the kid that's going to come in here and lose and beat the hammer. No, what's it called? What's it called, James?
Beat the hammer.
What is
Are
it
you
called?
Smarter than a 12th grader?
So I actually have the Ryan Howard year here.
You're ready to go.
I'll tell you exactly what it was because I got it by month. Ryan Howard that year by month. Let me see here. I can't find it. I'll figure it out. Oh, here we go. April, he hit 5 homers. May, he hit 13. June, 9. He hit 27 halfway through. July, he hit 9. August, you're right, Devin, he hit 14. And then however many were left in September. His final one on September 22nd. Yeah, that didn't go as well as I expected. I thought I had the September number in there. I didn't. Anyway, he ended with 58. Look, he's got a shot. Schwarber's got a shot. Now, he could use some help. That's obvious. And Jim Salisbury, by the way, Shil Kapadi will join us in about 5 minutes on the Eagles. Salisbury, when he was with us yesterday, made a point that I think it's one of those things we kind of know would be true, but hearing it from Jim, to me, gives it extra weight because he wouldn't say this if players hadn't said it to him. So this isn't speculation. This is reporting. Salisbury, with the trade deadline coming up, now in, you know, a little over 36 hours, Salisbury said this yesterday.
Yeah, I do think the time is now. And I think they know that, and I think they're willing to part with
Hold on one second, James, playing the wrong one there. My fault. Let's go back to something Salisbury said about the players.
The players that I talk to, they want to see a move made. They'd like to see a bat come in. They'd like to see a big arm come in. They are watching this thing really closely, and there'll be some very disappointed veterans if there's not significant improvement made.
You know what I mean, John? Like, we get it. If he didn't say it, we would know it. But the fact that he said it means they're saying it to him. That's significant. That they're say it's
they're
an.
They're saying it to him. And remember, this feels like a clubhouse. That's everything is sort of implied this year. It all has been mum for the most part. You know, it's head down. We know what we got to do. Blinders on. They're even talking about.
Let me give you a story. I've told this story on the air before, but it's worth sharing. It's always worth sharing when the Phillies have a contending team around a trade deadline. Because before I was in this industry, I was just a punk kid drinking in New York one night, and the 0-1 Phillies were in contention, and they had just beaten the Mets in a game in which Scott Rolen made a great diving play. And the Phillies beat the Mets, I believe, to tie first place with the Braves near the trade deadline. And that night, after the game, I wound up in a bar. And it just so happened that, like, 30 minutes later, the Phillies players wound up in a bar. And one of the Phillies made two trades that night. This is when, if you might remember, they brought in the relievers from the Mets. That might have even been the next day, but they brought Turk Wendell and I want to say Dennis Cook for the second time.
Who wore the shark around their neck?
They brought in, that was Turk Wendell, And they brought in Felipe Crespo, I think that was the player. And one of the Phillies players who I started talking to, and I'm not going to say the player because he didn't know, you know, 25 years later I'd be a talk show host, but one of the players, prominent player, The trade came up on SportsCenter. Like, we're hanging out. It's like 11:30.
No way.
We're just drinking. We're just drinking together, hanging out.
That's crazy.
It was cool. It was fun.
Sitting in a sports bar with Phillies players.
Yes.
SportsCenter's on.
Yes.
Trade.
Yes.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes.
You're all sitting there talking about
prominent.
It. I've had this happen to me one time. One time.
Okay, right.
And unfortunately, it was when Terrell was doing sit-ups.
Oh, well, sure.
In the parking lot.
Totally.
In his driveway.
Totally.
But this is crazy.
Yeah, so prominent player sees it, looks at me, and says, Felipe Crespo, he just stinks. So, like, the players, and again, that was a team that had a shot that year against the Braves. So,
great.
You know, the point
is,
like,
dreadful. They were dreadful pickups, weren't they?
They were horrendous.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, of course these guys want additions that can help them.
And they know.
Of course they do.
What will help.
Of course they do.
Especially, this is basically the same group the last few years. This is the same group that at this time has seen Dave add edges on the edges, on the margins.
Big time. Yeah.
So, like, this group is probably really clamoring for a real side to come in.
By the ad.
Yeah, especially if it's their last shot.
By the ads, plural. Yeah.
Which, whether it is or isn't, those guys in the clubhouse know that it could be.
There's no question. Yeah. All right, we'll talk to Sheil Kapadia about the Eagles coming up in a couple minutes. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. How's everyone doing?
Super, Ed.
I'd be lying to you if I wasn't relieved that tennis was canceled yesterday. I was really concerned about you guys, so hopefully you find a day that's better. That's just how I felt about it. Some people feel differently. So
some people do.
So you're soft. We got it. That's cool.
By the way, Ed,
I
called me soft on Twitter because I put up there that I thought it was the right decision, and he put up the Kobe thing when Kobe years ago called someone, I forget who it was. It might have been Dwight Howard, called him soft. And Ike being a mean girl. That's all right.
Yeah, well, he's a protective father, you know, and he needs to look out for
unless
his son,
he's
Jack,
the mommy. So. One of them's mommy, one of them's daddy. We don't know who's mommy and who's daddy to Jack. We just know Boban's parents are heavily involved in this process.
They're kind of helicopter parents.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Jack also sent a communication to the decision maker that he advised for, you know,
as someone who was on the text, John, I know exactly what Jack said.
Oh, really?
But it would not be proper for me to divulge that information.
Oh, come on.
How do you find this out?
Who was on the text? Like, who can I text to get
it
this?
I'll tell you the four people on the text. It was Jack Fritz, Joe DeCamera, market manager David Yagaroff, and program director Rod Lakin.
Oh, so no one's going to tell me.
Need to know basis.
Look, Ed, I thought it was the right decision to cancel, but I did feel bad. I felt bad. I mean, people were coming out there. And ideally, it should have been postponed on Monday.
It's interesting how it seems like you and Jack are the only two people at the station who think it was the right decision outside of the bus. It's like every other host on the air is like, bad decision.
I'm very much okay with it.
Okay with it?
Well, that's just because you didn't want to stand out there, right?
Well, I've been at training camp, and it is horrible outside. Like, we would all be. I was supposed to sideline report with Buzz on that thing, and I do feel bad for Dan Wilson because he came out and he was all ready to go.
It was one set.
We'd be dripping with sweat. We'd be passing out. Everyone would be dehydrated.
But just
like,
been out
I
there
understand.
For two
this is purely
hours.
Selfish of you, is what you're saying. It's just you didn't want to stand outside.
It's okay to say yes, Devin.
What if other people don't pass out? Seltzer, what if like four spectators pass out?
No, exactly.
When does that happen?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I
mean,
when
does that happen? People stand at practice all
practice
the time. People go outside
out.
And sit at a restaurant on these days. Like, what are you talking about?
Those people are crazy.
Those people are dumb.
But people do it. Like, people go out and walk to places, and you have to walk to work. My wife walked my daughter in yesterday. Like, what are we talking about?
All right, Ed, what do you got on the birds, my man? I got Richie here telling me the defense is going to be good.
Yeah, I'm really not concerned about the defense. I'm really kind of curious to see, you know, of all the starters that we won't see in the preseason, we had better see Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson draft for every preseason game.
Yeah.
I mean, because other than, you know, hearing what Fangio had to say about Adoree Jackson and, you know, who's getting the first team reps and whatnot, that's all the information I have. You know, that's why Elliott's stats are so important.
I'm telling you. Ed,
we need
Adoree. They're evenly rotating to favoring Adoree Jackson in terms of reps. That's just the feel that I get. I don't have the official numbers. Adoree Jackson, his experience is such a big deal.
Yeah, but what Fangio said yesterday is also a big deal. We're going to get to that in a moment.
It is a big deal. The fact that he said, when asked about Kelee Ringo, oh, he's fine. That's
But what he said about Adoree Jackson did not bode well for Adoree Jackson.
I think it did. Okay, I think he thinks he's got much bigger upside. Okay. It just has not been channeled yet, and he's trying to channel it.
Well, he is trying to do that. Ed, give me a scene with non-athletes playing sports.
How about the guys in old school doing gymnastics near the end of the movie?
Oh, great answer. Will Ferrell doing the floor routine? Phenomenal.
Good answer.
The rhythmic gymnastics.
All right, let's talk some birds with Shield Kapadia. He does phenomenal work at the Ringer. He's out there at Eagles training camp quite a bit, including the last 2 days, so he can report on that. And big picture with the Eagles as they get close to the start of the season. Shield with us right now. Good morning, Shield.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I mean,
awesome.
You know, better than I would be if I had been out there for an hour in the heat yesterday. Was it the right or wrong decision for the station? And it was the station. It was management. It was not me. Right or wrong decision to postpone yesterday?
I'm fine with the decision. It's got to come earlier.
Yeah.
The indecision. You know, we got all the weather apps and forecasts. Come on now. You can't be waiting. The other people driving and flying in. But I heard the guy call. He's taking a train in yesterday. I mean, people are coming to see this. You got to make the call earlier.
Yeah, Ava drove back from the shore.
It's a fair criticism, Shield. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. When was the when was the Eagles Vikings game that was postponed? When did they postpone it? Do you remember?
I actually don't. That might have been more last minute than this one.
It was.
I don't think it was 2 hours before.
No,
it was more.
It was way more because people didn't show up to the stadium on Monday.
Because I will tell you.
No, it went from a Sunday to a Tuesday, James. I think it was Sunday night football, I believe.
That was the snowstorm,
you think
right?
It was a Monday?
I thought it was a Monday.
It went from a Sunday to a Tuesday.
It might have. But either way, they talked about Monday, then Tuesday, maybe. I don't remember, to be honest.
We were getting our skis ready to try, you know, because we were downtown. We were just going to ski down Broad Street.
Shield, what if Joe Webb shows up to our rescheduled, not that it has been scheduled. If Joe Webb, $1,000 to Joe Webb if he shows up to the tennis match next week. All right. Shield, let's get serious here. John's telling me the Eagles' defense is going to be good. I don't know that he's right. I hope that he's right. He's even saying they might be great. What do your instincts tell you based on what you've seen and what you know?
Yeah, I've got them as a top five defense again this season. I know they lost guys. I think some of that we are overrating, and I think some of that we should have concerns about. You know, I think my biggest concern right now is the moving pieces in the secondary, and that's absolutely a valid concern, and we'll see how that plays out. But I just have so much trust in Vic Fangio that he's going to be able to find one of these guys that is a good fit and put them in position to succeed. And then you look across the board. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell looks incredible. Cooper DeJean looks great. The linebackers, for the first time, maybe in our lifetime, we can say they might have the best linebacking duo in the NFL. Now, we got to see with Jihad Campbell, but that type of ceiling is there with this linebacker duo. And then, of course, you know what you have with Jalen Carter. So I hear you if you tell me, hey, they lost a lot of snaps and it's not the same guys, and they might not be as good as they were last year. But as I'm assessing the rest of the NFL right now, I've got two, maybe three other defenses that I put in the same league as the Eagles. So I still think this is going to be a great defensive football
team. Well, I'm very glad to hear you say that because, you know, I really respect your opinion. I hope you are right as well. All right, let's get to what Fangio said about Adoree Jackson. I did not think this reflected well on Adoree Jackson yesterday, Shield. I agree with John's contention that Fangio was challenging him, but man, this concerned me. Two different pieces of audio. Let's start first with this one, which I found to be the strangest, because in many ways it almost felt like Fangio was separating himself from Howie Roseman in the decision making, like almost maybe a little shot at Howie. I don't know. Make of it what you will. I thought this was strange. Here's what Fangio said about Adoree Jackson.
I didn't watch a whole lot of tape on him. Howie kind of wanted to sign him, and when Howie wants to sign somebody, it doesn't matter what I say. So we just took him in, and I didn't really watch a lot of his tape last year, but I've seen him play over the years. Saw him when he was coming out of college.
All right, Shield, what'd you make of that one? I thought that was bizarre.
I thought it was hilarious that Vic Fangio's just going to go up there, you know, like your uncle who's maybe had a couple, you know, one too many glasses of wine at Thanksgiving and you're not sure what's going to come out of their mouth. And he'll tell you what he thinks. You know, I think Vic Fangio in the draft, I think he certainly has a big say in the players that they select. I don't think they're taking anybody who he doesn't like. But I was thinking back to last year around this time, and he's being asked about Bryce Huff at training camp. And he's saying, well, yeah, he's got to prove himself against the run. And it's not the exact same thing, but kind of similar.
Sure.
Saying,
yeah,
you know what,
exactly.
This is someone we brought in for competition, but, you know, I wasn't going into Howie's office for this guy and saying, hey, let's go sign him. He's going to be my starting corner. So I think he's still figuring out that position. I think he wants to see these guys get more reps. To me, the biggest question is if he sees Kelee Ringo and says, hey, this guy can be a really good player by October, November, then do I let him take his lumps early in the season? Because I do think that's a part of
yeah.
it with all of these young cornerbacks.
So one more on Adoree Jackson from Fangio, because he went out of his way to say something else. Let's play this one and then make of it what you will.
Why do you think that this is the place that he can maybe show? You mentioned what he could be. Is it the scheme?
Yeah, I don't know if I think it's the place. I think it's time for him to show that. You know, you know, he, in Tennessee, when it came time to re-sign him, you know, after his contract was up, they didn't. The Giants' his contract was up, they didn't. You know, it's time to show who he is or who he isn't.
See, Shield, here's my contention. Make of it what you will of whether Fangio should or shouldn't say it, and I agree with John that he's challenging him. But what I take out of that as an Eagles fan is my team just went from Darius Slay to this guy. Oh man, that, you know, come on now. What do you think?
The guy was supposed to be Kelee Ringo. Kelee Ringo, yeah, but, I believe, is letting it slip away, and Adoree Jackson is overtaking
him. Right, but
now,
my point is, it's a problem either way. That's my point. It's not Darius Slay. It's one of these two guys. Shield, yeah, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the most likely scenario is you're going to have a downgrade at that cornerback position with the way Darius Slay played last year, and now whoever you're replacing him with this year. The question is, how much of a downgrade is it? You know, can you still get competent cornerback play from one of these two guys? I mean, you know, Adoree Jackson's been in the league, what, 8 years? He turned 30 in September. This typically is not the time where you see a cornerback all of a sudden. Now, it happens sometimes. James Bradbury came to the Eagles, and he was later in his career, and he had a terrific season in 2022, but it's typically not the time where a guy kind of takes off and has a career season. So I still think the best-case scenario for them is a guy like Ringo winning that job, who has some upside, who can grow into the role. But I think Fangio is telling you, like, neither of them are going to be handed the job. It's not, you know, we're 5 days into camp. It's not like he's seen either of them just kind of, you know, grab it and say, hey, this is my job. I'm playing great. So he needs to see more. We're not even in August yet, and so this is one we just kind of have to keep an eye on, revisit every week here until we get to week one.
I am really excited about the defense, as Joe mentioned, but how concerned should we be about the fact that three of our linebackers, but actually three starters, Nolan Smith, Zach Bond, Nakobe Dean, were not practicing yesterday in various, you know, degrees of injury? How concerned should we be about that, Shiel?
Yeah, I think the edge group, you know, I kind of split those into, you know, Nolan Smith is kind of part of that edge group with the outside linebackers. That is a concern. You know, Nolan Smith had the concussion, I think it was, earlier this week in practice, and they're not deep there. You know, Jalix Hunt, even if you're bullish about him, behind those two guys, you really just took some low-cost flyers on some veterans like Josh Uche in the offseason. So that is a bit of a concern. Off-ball linebacker, I actually feel great about. Now, I don't know the details of Zach Bond's injury, but as long as he's going to be available in the regular season, I mean, watching the potential with him and Jahad Campbell and their length to protect the middle of the field in coverage, I mean, that's where offenses are attacking. And these guys are two of the best. I don't want to get ahead of myself with Jahad Campbell. So I should say has the potential to be one of the better coverage linebackers in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I thought had two good days of practice from what I saw. I mean, I thought
he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. Exactly. Yep, that's exactly what I felt like. His head wasn't spinning. He was reading stuff. He was moving. And so
makes him look faster. He's playing faster because he knows exactly where to be and how to anticipate this year. And it's really reflected in the way he's playing. He's making a strong push right now. And man, they've got a lot of talent inside. They've got, I wonder, with Nolan Smith, okay, he's got that. Basically, Fangio told us it's Nolan and Jalix Hunt. Seal the deal with those guys. When you see these other pass rushers, Shiel, who's the best? Who should make the team out of Uche, Ojulari, the Ogbo guy, all these names? They all feel sort of like similarly even. Right, yeah. Now, coming off the edge.
I think that's right. I don't think, and none of them, to be honest, really popped for me. I think if I had to pick one, I would say Uche because he has played. He has had one big sack season, and he did yesterday with Nolan Smith out. He was the guy out there replacing him. So I kind of watch what the coaches tell me with how they're rotating guys in with the depth chart with the first team and the second team. But listen, it's an area where they've got, what did Howie say, 13 draft picks. Going into next season, where if there is a veteran edge rusher, and it might not be the most flashy guy, but a guy who can be, hey, your third edge rusher there, that they might look into that. I think if there's one area where you say, hey, Shiel, they're going to make a trade between now and week one, I think that might be the most likely scenario, although you could also talk me into, you know, potentially them doing something at safety as well.
Shiel Kapadia with us from The Ringer right now. All right, it's great talking, D. I love it. Let's talk some O, though, as well. Shiel, the offense, Jalen and the offense, the last two practices that you saw, how did you think they looked?
Listen, I think the defense got the better of them the last 2 days, but I went into this camp thinking, I don't really care that much what I see out of Jalen Hurts. You know, the last time we watched Jalen Hurts, he was going up against the Hall of Fame defensive coordinator on the biggest stage against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and he lit him up. So, you know, I went into this camp saying, if Jalen Hurts has a couple days or the offense struggles a couple days, let's not panic about that. We just saw them do it in the playoffs. So I think they've got stuff to work on. There's no doubt about it. You know, my concern is how much change are we going to see from what we saw last year with the new offensive coordinator. And I don't know that it's going to be a lot. You know, I think we could be in for a little bit of what we had last year where you had some good moments. You had some moments where we say, hey, this doesn't look right. And you hope you find it at the right moment in the playoffs on the biggest stage. So, yeah, you know, they've had some ups and downs. Devontae Smith didn't practice yesterday, so you're limited a little bit with your pass catchers. You're not, you know, running the football, tackling to the ground completely. So that's obviously what this offense is built on. So you're not going to see that. We're training camps more of a passing camp. So that's kind of where I stand after the last couple days with the offense.
Shiel, am I mistakenly thinking they're going to pass to the backs more? Because they are passing to the backs in camp this year more than I've seen in the regular season, you know, if you go percentage of plays or whatever. But it does feel like it when I reflect back to all the previous camps, I do feel like they throw to the backs a lot in camp. And maybe that's just a product of checking it down because there's not really sacks happening, you know, with the way that they don't take the quarterback to the ground. I'm not sure. It does feel like with Kevin Petullo calling the shots, he's saying that Jalen is really hasn't missed a beat and it hasn't taken a step back, sort of that Jalen has advanced in his knowledge and understanding of the offense this year with Petullo calling the shots. Does this offense include more activity for the backs in the passing game?
Yeah, I'll kind of believe it when I see it. I'm with you. It feels like one of those things that you often see at the practices and then the game start. I mean, last year was weird where week one, they design a beautiful play to Saquon Barkley for the touchdown against the Packers in Brazil. And then the rest of the season, yeah, you're saying, where is that? And so I think with the checkdowns, what we see across the NFL is that the quarterbacks who can scramble and make plays with their legs are less likely to check it down because they get to that checkdown and they say, yeah, I could throw it out to him in the flat, or I could just take off myself. And oftentimes it's a good decision to take off themselves. We saw that with Jalen Hurts at least a couple times every game in some high leverage spots, making plays as a scrambler. So we'll see. I think it would be a good thing. I think it's in the playbook. I think they have those designs in there. We saw it last year. They just didn't get to them as much as maybe we thought they were going to get.
All right, Shield, final thing here, gut feeling. Is there going to be a starter for the Eagles week one that is not currently on this football team? Namely, for a defensive spot, corner or safety, not currently on the team that starts week one?
I'm going to say no. I think it'll be the guys we see. I think it could be, a third edge rusher potentially. And I think you could see something at safety potentially. I'm not predicting that. I mean, one of the most interesting things right now, real quick, is Cooper DeJean's role. You know, it feels like they think he's the best safety and they think he's the best nickel. And the thing I'll leave you with is keep an eye on this fifth-round pick, Mack McWilliams, the corner they got from Central Florida. Hearing Vic Fangio talk about his instincts and his football savvy really caught my attention yesterday. Where is there a scenario where they say, hey, he's a really good nickel and we can actually play Cooper DeJean at safety even when we're in those sub packages?
Wow.
I'm not telling you that's going to happen, but that's on my radar a little bit the next week or two, how they're using those guys. I do think there could be some shuffling with where these guys play.
Good deal.
That would mean that Mack McWilliams jumps Perry Nickerson from San Francisco.
Yeah, I think McWilliams has been in there in dime with the first team. And again, I think he's somebody who it seems like Fangio might have gotten in the scout's ear and in Howie's ear and said, hey, I like this guy. I can use this guy immediately like I used those defensive backs last year.
All right, Shield, great work as always. We look forward to talking to you a ton more once we get to this thing really cranking up with the start of the season. Shield, thanks so much, man.
All right, guys, take care. Talk to you soon.
All right, Shield Kapadia.
Such a huge deal. Think about that. We've got a lot of flexibility with the way Cooper DeJean can do everything.
He's not going to be the outside corner in base.
No.
He's either going to be the safety.
It depends who else we bring in. In all likelihood, I think it depends who we're able to find. And it might not be right at the beginning of the year. I think this could be an adjustment on the fly during the season as well. Cooper DeJean, when guys go down with injury, they're going to continue to try to find the best five or six DBs if we're going dime.
Look, the good news is
put on the field.
Other team only goes base offense maybe 10% of the time. So, I mean, Vic Fangio said this week Eagles aren't working on it themselves defensively much because the Eagles offense doesn't do it much. So but teams could try to attack it. I mean, they could try to get Cooper DeJean off the field, but I think the Eagles will just put him in safety is what I think will happen. You know, in those situations.
We don't take him off the field. That's the whole
point. Well,
hold
on. Last year they did.
No,
we
didn't have to. When?
When the other team would have two wide receivers in the game, Cooper DeJean
came off.
When
they were in base, he wasn't on the field last year.
Came off the field.
But very rarely.
Right, Joe was saying teams could choose to do that more because of Cooper DeJean if they're going to take him off the field in those situations.
Which is why they'll probably put him at safety.
Agree.
But I'm saying last year he was off the field in those scenarios.
I don't agree with that.
No, it's a fact. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was the safety. There was no need for a slot, and Cooper DeJean stood on the sideline. That's a fact.
By the end of the season, we stayed in nickel. By the end of the season, we did not match what the offense was doing.
So you're saying at a certain point, Fangio said,
Cooper DeJean is so unique, we don't have to match. Cooper DeJean is like a linebacker.
So you're
That's
saying
my whole point.
So playing him at linebacker in those plays, essentially, is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Twitter poll question of the day. We got two of them, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Track in stock now, starting at $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you think the Phils will make a meaningful trade today? Trade deadline is 6 o'clock tomorrow, so we are under 36 hours to the trade deadline. Listen, July 29th used to be Ruben's big day. That's when he got Hunter Pence, Roy Oswalt, and I believe Cliff Lee all on the same day three straight years. They didn't do it yesterday. Now, look, they got a great start from Lizardo. Great start. Important start from Lizardo. That was really good to see. Brandon Marsh, the other main star of the game. Schwarber had a big role as well. Do you think the Phils make a meaningful trade today, yes or no? Second poll question, was it the right decision to postpone me versus Fritz, the tennis match yesterday due to extreme heat? Let's go to the phones. Yes or no on that one. Juice in South Philly. Juice, good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening, bud?
What's up, Juice? How do you get a name like Juice?
Things. The hat. It comes from softball.
Oh, nice.
I get it. Steroids. I got gotcha.
You. Yeah. So you hit dongs in softball?
Ate it or unate it?
Danielle's hitting dongs every day when we're out in the yard.
It's the reverse. No, it's the reverse of that. I was saying I don't do juice.
There you go.
Oh, you're an honorable
so
man.
So all the other softball players were doing juice. I got it.
It's an epidemic.
That's funny.
Yeah, they're all meatheads, man.
Yeah.
So listen. So I have a couple points I want to make.
Sure.
First point, the Phils, in my opinion, are not going to do anything not like we want them to do as far as trade deadline goes. I feel like with all the names and all the rumors going around, something would have been done by now if they were planning on getting rid of those of their prospects. Kind of like, jump on it early, because the longer that they wait, the more the price goes up.
Well, the price is very high. Juice, the price is really high. I don't know if you heard Ruben with this yesterday, but he was very clear that it's not going to be easy at all for the Phillies to acquire the type of players that fans are clamoring for.
It's like priciest of all time.
So here's my question, Joe, right?
Sure.
So Kyle Drabek, Sixto Sanchez.
Yep.
The list goes on.
Yeah, it's
they
a long
were
list.
They're all top front of the pitchers, right?
Yep.
And what happened to them?
Yeah, well, they all stunk. Yeah.
We're holding on to Painter. ERA above 4?
They said he's the
A?
Best prospect in the history of the organization.
Yeah, so Juice, you're bringing up good points, but I could bring up this point. The Phillies have had, and this is the third time in their history they've had sustained success. Now, it's not as good as the 70s and the 80s or the group 15 years ago, but the reality is those two groups were both built primarily through the farm system. And so while you are 1,000% correct that there's a million good prospects that amounted to nothing, there's also Schmitty, there's Luzinski, there's Boa, there's Boone, there's Cole, there's Jimmy, there's Ryan, there's Chase. I mean, these are guys that had a monumental impact on the Phillies and our lives as Phillies fans, and they all came from the system. So you got to be careful. That's all I'm saying, man. Like, I want them to do something, but let's not act like all the high-level prospects become bums, because some of them become cornerstones of Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, but you just gave me, what, 10 out of thousands that we drafted since the 80s?
Well, yes,
most minor leaguers don't make the majors.
Yeah,
but
we're talking... But yeah, if we're talking about the top, 40 prospects they've had in the last 40 years, yeah, you'd also put Gavin Floyd in there who didn't work out, Dom Brown didn't, I was going to say Meldrick Taylor. What was that guy's name? What was the Taylor guy's name? Something Taylor. That guy stunk.
Michael
Taylor stunk. The kid from the College World Series in 95. The guy with the knuckle curve. He didn't work. He made the one All-Star game and then he fell apart. All-Star game 95. Tyler Green.
Oh, yeah. Tyler Green.
He didn't work out. Bobby Estalea didn't work out. I mean, it's a long...
Yeah, most of them. Yeah, back in the day, at least. If those years. I mean, we talked, the trades, the guys they traded didn't work. Filippo Montz and Kyle Drabek.
Juice, you're convincing me. All right, Juice, the right or wrong decision to postpone tennis yesterday?
I agree with you, Joe. If I had a chance to do it, I would do it, too. There's no reason for you to have a heat stroke. Prove a point that you're better than somebody at a sport.
I appreciate that.
That's coming from me, who I play out in that 105 degree heat when I'm on a softball field. Sometimes we play on turf; it's hotter than that.
There you go, Juice. Give me a great answer. Playing sports.
I want to make one more point, real quick. So I listen to you guys all day while I'm working.
Yes, sir.
Right. And make it into the afternoon show. And I got to be honest with you, Spike annoys the crap out of me. Okay? Mommy and Daddy, all they do is sit there and tell you how this competition should be. I feel like Spike should be in the competition with you. The problem is he has not an athletic bone in his
body. Well, he'd have no shot, obviously.
When we play softball, one of the worst things that we hate, is when the person standing there holding the book running their mouth because they have no athleticism whatsoever, so they're the hype man. All they do is my guy's better than you. And in reality, it's because he can't do it. So if you can't do it, shut up.
Yeah, Juice, in wrestling terms, he reminds me a lot of Jimmy Hart. You know?
Yeah. Mouth of the South.
Yeah, mouth of the South. He's just doing a lot of squawking, but there's no real talent there. All right, yes, Juice, you said it. You said it. Give me an answer here. A scene really. With a non-athlete.
Kind of.
Ferris Bueller.
And which scene is that, where there's got to be a scene with playing some sports?
So, playing, or well, he's
playing. Actually, he's watching sports.
Yeah, he was thinking watching.
Yeah, he's watching sports. Now, you got to be playing sports. All right, Juice, appreciate the call. Let's listen to more of what was said in the afternoon show yesterday, because one of the things going on was Spike was, at a certain point, trying to conduct a live on-air investigation. Let's listen to something he said.
How were you and Joe informed that this was going to happen? Not going to happen.
Well, it was in a private text message.
Okay.
Saying, you know, what do you think?
Oh!
What do you think?
It was, what do you think?
And it was a station decision.
No, what did you say that you thought? And what did Joe say that you thought?
Who knows what we said. But how I feel.
You know, you were on a text chain.
Here's how I feel.
Yeah.
Station decision.
Yeah.
Management decision. I didn't push back. I think it was a correct decision. It was hot out.
You don't think you could have played 30 minutes of tennis today?
Prepared to play. Willing to play. That was what was said in the text message. Whatever you guys want to do, don't think it was the best decision to play today.
You know, it's funny. Me and Jack had a very similar approach.
I can tell. I think you both were like, we're good. Yeah, we don't have to do this. It's fine. Whatever you guys want to do, but I don't want to necessarily. Yeah.
I really was fully, fully prepared to play, but I did think it was the right decision to cancel it just because, you know, it's not just us. It's the spectators.
I mean, still think it's the right decision now?
Yeah, no one died.
Should have been earlier. That's
no
all.
One died. No one died. Was going to die.
Yeah. I don't know about
this is so silly. We're talking about standing outside in the heat.
It's hot.
There are only two people doing athletic stuff, you and Jack. Everyone else is standing there.
Yeah, so are you taking action now to make sure there's like EMT access to this facility that you're
It's going
to
be hot when you guys do it. Like maybe it's a few degrees cooler. Like what is this?
But on that, why don't we just do this at night or indoors? Like why are we doing it at noon during the hottest time of the year outside? I feel like there are other alternatives to make this.
Well, there are. We do want to have it where people can
watch.
To
see, and it's hard to get people inside somewhere, parking, all these type of things.
There's not much parking at FDR Park.
Look, there's days next week where there's 80-degree days.
Yeah, it's going to be like 84.
Midweek, we should be completely fine. Like, I would play today, but no one's prepared for that. We haven't put word out.
Well, you would play today. It's the same
98.
Today.
Yeah.
I'm yesterday. Just saying, I would have played any day. John, I'm going to win tennis. Like, I don't know what was...
Didn't you just say you didn't... You texted to say that you were okay not playing yesterday?
Yes.
So no, how would you no, play any day?
I was also okay playing. I just said...
What was the wording? It was...
Okay. Hold on. You want me to pull out the freaking text?
Yeah, obviously. We've been waiting for that for an hour
now. I will not divulge other people's text messages.
The wording
is that fair?
Can I do this, Spike?
Critical.
You can do anything you want.
Your text to David.
All right, hold on. Real quick. While I find this, I want to play one more thing from Spike yesterday, because I need a moment here to find this text. Listen to something else, Spike.
I want to see the text. Put the text online.
Not putting the text online.
Put the text online.
Not putting the text online. 215-992-9494.
Do you think
that's no?
I'm going to get Jack's cell phone number.
HIPAA law.
That's not a HIPAA law. That's not what HIPAA is.
Funny that while you were looking for the text, that was the audio we were playing. That's ironic.
All right,
that's also really funny.
I will read you only my text messages.
Okay.
I sent two text messages in this process. Here we go. And this all happened very late in our show. It was in the finals. I think it was like during Time's Yours. The first text message I sent was in response to David Yagaroff's text message. I wrote the following. I totally get your concern, David, and appreciate the note. I am fully prepared to play. But I do think not playing should be strongly considered, both for our sake and for all the spectators. Then I relayed something that I'm now going to divert from the text for a moment to say that I had heard, Rhea, what you had referenced earlier. I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but I'll say you referenced earlier what you had heard about training camp 2 days ago, that people were struggling.
Yeah, and I mentioned it to the boss.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think when I did that, I set alarm bells off.
Yeah, it did.
I was just chatting.
You said that to them. Yeah, I'm not going to read the total specifics here.
I didn't just chatting.
But I relayed, Rhea, what you had told. I didn't know you had also told them that.
Yeah.
So I'm
disappointed in all of you guys.
James, I will just tell you the reason I was doing it, I was making fun of Rod for wearing jeans. So that was the context.
Without your comment, Rhea, it probably would have been played.
I know. I apologize to whoever.
I wrote, Rhea told us blank number of people passed out yesterday. And of course, they
You didn't have to do that either, though.
That's what I was told.
You didn't have to do that. Have to relay that. You could have. If you really wanted to play yesterday, you would have been like, I'm good.
Absolutely.
Like the response to the text should have been, hey, David, thanks for asking. I'm good.
Well,
boom.
Now I'm going to continue.
Done.
I'm going to
period. That's what we call period.
Oh, should we play? Rhea said people were.
Rhea
passing
said people
out
were passing
yesterday.
Out. But I'm ready. I'm ready. But seriously,
I was
don't forget.
Fun of our boss.
People were passing out. Okay,
yeah.
But I'll
Rhea,
play.
I took your words literally. So, I mean,
told that. No, I'm not lying. No, I didn't make it up. But
Rhea,
this
is not your fault at all.
No, what I'm saying is,
Joe had the chance to say I'm good. Jack had the chance to say I'm good. Let's play.
Here are my
and they both were selfish and didn't care about all the people coming. We're like,
here are my
maybe
last.
Maybe you should
two,
worry about the heat a little bit.
My last two sentences.
It's gonna be hard.
You guys aren't gonna like my last two sentences.
Oh no.
I haven't liked any of them yet, so.
If I were you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I would postpone it.
Oh, no.
But I am happy to do whatever is decided upon.
This one's for you.
This one's for you.
Listen, the market manager has a legal response. I still need a lawyer to call in. I asked an hour ago for a lawyer. We haven't had a lawyer call. Can I please get a call from a lawyer?
That's a Weasley sentence.
If people passed out at our event. God forbid heat stroke and it really got serious. Would the station be liable at a WIP event, not just us, but if a spectator had shown up and passed out, is the station liable? I don't know the answer to that. That's why I'm asking, can a lawyer please call us 215-592-9494. The final text message I'll just tell you that I sent, because I only sent two, after I was told it was postponed, I wrote, good call. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Rod, I should announce the postponement right now, right? And then I got the response, and I announced the postponement.
I'm incredibly disappointed.
Listen, I was ready to go.
Joe.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Stop it. You're not allowed to say
anything. I was 1,000% ready to go.
No. If you're ready to go, you
heard me.
If you say you're ready to go, they asked you, do you want to play? You could have just said, yes, I want to play. You didn't have to do all this stuff about people passing out. You didn't have to do all this stuff about, maybe for liability, you should really be worried. They asked you what you wanted to do. You could have said, I'll play. It's not on you.
No,
it's on your decision for liability. They did, and you didn't say, I want to play.
I would postpone.
Exactly.
Because he's got a responsibility.
Hey, by the way, Rhea said people are passing out, but you make the call. Are you kidding? That's so weak. We know exactly what
Devin, help me out here. Devin, I need support.
I
need support.
If I were you, I would postpone it. And oh, by the way, Rhea mentioned people were falling out yesterday trying to watch practice.
Just so you know, what could possibly happen today?
Whatever you want to do, I'll support it.
I don't even know what the side is that you want my help on. Like, is it that you
just
didn't call
me.
It? That you because I do support the decision to postpone it.
Thank you.
Standing outside at training camp was not
here's
fun
the point,
yesterday.
Devin. Yes, that's fine.
Devin, that was for
Devin,
2 hours.
The point is, can Joe say he was ready to play after those text messages?
I mean, no.
Exactly.
I was ready to play.
No, you weren't. Stop.
James,
the only way I was going to lose
is if I freaking
you weren't ready to play. I thought you were. And I was telling people, I was like, Joe definitely wanted to play. This isn't on him. Now, I totally disagree.
Wow.
This is your fault.
Wow.
I don't know what Jack said. Jack might have said the same thing, probably did. I think it's probably both of you.
Can I ask you
a question? I'm actually with Mommy and Daddy right now. I think Spike and Ike have it right.
I fully support Mommy and Daddy.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's really good, but it's freaking me out.
No, the Mommy and Daddy thing is brilliant. It's the
It's my
thing
favorite thing of the whole
of this whole tournament.
Can I just ask a question? How is a best of five
yeah.
had so many controversies? I mean,
because you're
you.
Yeah, that's how
exactly.
you and Jack.
Really you
that's
and Spike.
Why. Yeah, you because Spike and Jack too. I mean, Jack did the in and out
before,
thing and all that.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. By the way, it's 94 WIP. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today. From the Tasty Cake studio. Now, a couple things. And then I actually want to play some audio related. Sort of to the heat thing yesterday with us in tennis. Three announcements. Number one, are you smarter than a 12th grader is coming up at 8:30 today? That's me versus a 12th grader in a general trivia contest, no sports involved. Questions that James has come up with that 12th graders are supposed to learn. So whatever a 12th grader learns, and John, this is probably going to go way above my head, because if we're in like chemistry territory and stuff, I'm dead meat. But I've never lost this through the various grades, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. I'm 7-0. We're up to 12th grader. We'll find out in about 20 minutes what happens. Announcement number two. You can call Time's Yours and let us know what you think of tennis having been postponed yesterday. Time's Yours, 215-238-4500. Call Time's Yours, weigh in. Announcement number three. We will be at McGurk's tomorrow. That's the McGurk's in Horsham. We love McGurk's. We love doing shows there. They're always special shows. Tomorrow's show revolves around the trade deadline. And James, I believe the station is broadcasting 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
That's correct. Yep. Every show will be down there.
12 hours of content leading you into the 6 p.m. trade deadline. Please get there tomorrow if you can. Any portion, McGurk's and Horsham, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it might be. Hang out with us. We're going to be there. It's going to be fun. Hopefully the Phillies do something. We'll be all over it. Get out to McGurk's if you can. If you can't, obviously listen, because we should have some good, you know, content for you on a trade deadline day. All right, two more things quickly before we go back to the phone. It was incredibly ironic that Vic Fangio and Jalen Hurts both had John Wayne comments yesterday about the Heat on a day where me and Fritz did not play our tennis match because of the Heat.
Jalen is tougher than you, in case you were wondering.
He is tough. Yes, he is tough, and Vic Fangio is grizzled. Let's listen first to Fangio, because he weighed in on the Heat.
It's not hot today. That's a mindset. You know, we're going to play some hot games of September, and if you cave to a hot day in training camp, we're in trouble.
All right.
Damn straight, Vic.
That's Vic. Now, did
he also said that wearing sweatpants and a hoodie. Like, he
it's
really
ridiculous.
Is not
said it's a
about.
Mindset.
We're playing Tampa in September. These guys better get in great
All
shape.
Right, did Jalen Hurts know at the moment he commented that our tennis match had been postponed? Maybe, maybe not. Let's listen to what John Wayne Jalen Hurts said yesterday about the Heat.
Fatigue makes cowards of us all, and, you know, these last 2 days have been very challenging from a Heat standpoint, and so everybody collectively as a group just continue to push through those things.
I co-sign that.
Called you a coward.
I co-sign. You push through.
Jalen Hurts just called you a coward.
You push through
that
is what you do.
Is what happened. You were made a coward.
Coward.
You and Jack both.
By the way, he stole that line from everyone's giving him credit. That was Jimmy Johnson's line, by the way, like 10 years ago when he addressed the Miami football team.
Coward.
But anyway.
I've heard that. I've heard that every
year. It's a good line. It's a good line.
Yeah, playing career too.
All right. Your reaction to the tennis postponement, which we hope will be rescheduled for next week. We expect that. Something Salisbury said yesterday to us about the Phillies and if they're going to make a trade. We'll get to that. More of the audio from the afternoon show. Heavy on the phone lines coming up. Plus, are you smarter than a 12th grader? We'll have some fun with that at 8:30 today. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's a big day. It's the day before the trade deadline on 94 WIP.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. We've seen their operation. We've done our show from their headquarters, and we've seen the people, the technology. It's all so impressive. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leaders for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything. Mobile POS, self-serves kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.